My Mac Podcast 970. What's wrong with regular intelligence?
And welcome everyone to the MyMac.com podcast. Now, Gaz is off having a good time, so I've requested the presence of Carl Madden from the Mac and Forth podcast to talk about our favorite AI programs and using them while not only recording the show, but live streaming it on Facebook, because what could possibly go wrong with that? As it turns out, nearly everything. Whoops, come on. There we go. Hey, Carl.
Hi, it's I'm okay, and
welcome,
thanks.
Welcome, Facebook.
Yeah, he's doing it live. No pressure. Are.
No one's watching it either, which, as far as I can tell, but I'm pressing on. I don't care. We have had
Facebook.
It's that thing that Mark guy does. You may have heard of it. Maybe not. It was popular, like, you know, AOL back in the day. Back in the day. We've had so many problems getting started today. And I'm going off script a little bit here. The biggest problems, I think, turned out to be mostly Apple-related with the way that they do audio. Because when you add a new source of audio into, like, the mix, Apple automatically assumes, oh, that's what you want, and they just switch you to it and don't care if it screws up everything else. And it's been a delightful 40 minutes or so trying to get all that figured out. It has not been a fun thing to do. So yeah, weird shenanigans with audio. And this actually started, Carl, what, 2-3 days ago?
Oh yes. Yeah, because last time I came on the show, my audio sounded terrible for whatever reason. And I think that was because I had a setting wrong in the little StreamYard window thing. Hopefully it's fixed, and it's fixed for this because we won't know until post. But Guy assures me it is. So if it isn't,
it's my fault.
He's the chat. No, it's that way, isn't it? He's the chat.
Yeah, it's me. I had to point at myself. Can't point at Carl. It's me. One of the other problems I was having, Carl can see this, and if you watch the video later on, you'll be able to see that as well. This is the Motu M4, which is like a fantastic audio interface. It's clean. It does everything but wash the dishes for you until it doesn't, which is kind of what happened a couple of days ago. And what made me think that it's actually a problem with the Mac was I pulled this out of the chain, and to absolutely no one's surprise, I have multiple audio interfaces. So I grabbed another one, the Arturia MiniFuse 2, plugged that in, and it seemed to be working fine, but the other audio interface, because, you know, I can't just do one thing, started having problems as well when that was the Behringer UV1, a rack-mounted USB audio interface. And it was like, what is going on here? I mean, everything was just like all messed up. And I went into, you've heard of Audio MIDI Setup in the Utilities folder?
Oh, you're asking me? Sorry.
Yeah.
Yes, I've heard of it, yes.
Okay. When I looked in that, I had this long list of all of these different audio interfaces and stuff from Rode, because Rode has lots of virtual stuff. And I don't know if it's a problem with all of these things starting to bang heads, because you can't take them out. Once they're there, you can't take them out. Now, the loopback stuff, sure. If it's not there when your computer fires up, it just disappears. But stuff from Rode and stuff from a bunch of other companies that do some virtual signaling or moving around of audio from place to place, once that's in there, it's like, nope, can't pull me out. Can't do it. So what I may end up having to do is one of two things. I'm either going to have to replace this Mac Mini, which I don't want to do yet, or do a nuke and pave. and just get rid of everything and start from scratch, which I really don't want to do either. Mm. It would actually be easier to just get a new computer, but a little bit more expensive.
You just want an M3. That's all it is.
They're not out yet. I can't. Even if that was like what I wanted to do, I'd have to go with an M2. And I know the M3 is like probably right around the corner.
The problem is, and I know you're a tinkerer because I know you, right? The problem is because we do this nonsense every week, we're constantly, any new thing that comes up, bang, we'll put it on our machine, see if we can use it. We'll put it on there. Yeah, it sounds great when you're just messing around trying it in your bedroom with no one listening. And then you go onto a call and they go, oh, I can't hear you. And you go, well, what have I changed? And then you think, crap, everything. I've changed everything. Where was it before?
I picture this goes way back before digital switching. Some kind of telephone operator inside of my Mac, frantically moving cables all over the place. Oh God, what is guy doing now? Oh, I can't keep up. So yeah, that's the picture that's in my head. So I might be having problems with the M1. It might just be I've got too many things that are plugged in there, which is that's always possible. I'm going to ask you this, Carl. Why don't you tell us what's going on with you, and then together we'll kind of explain how this is going to work today, because it's going to be a little convoluted. But go ahead.
I'm waiting to find out myself.
Yeah.
So I've just been up to work. It's mad at our place at the moment, but anyway, every now and again, I still find some time to play with my new Steam Deck, which I know I've now made Guy go out and buy. He blamed me.
Yeah, well, it was your fault.
No, it wasn't. You. I said, whatever you do, don't impulse buy it. End of the conversation. Yeah, I got one ordered. So
yeah. Even before we got off that conversation.
And then he realizes he's not very good at gaming. Yeah. He has to get better. That's how you do that. Anyway, so, I've been doing all that. So I've been playing with my Steam Deck, and a bit like Guy. And I thought, oh, I tell you what, I could, because in the past, I bought all these various video equipment, because I wanted to do like video podcasts like this. Unfortunately, most of the other gang on my show don't want to do video podcasts, so I can't do them. Anyway, so I thought, right, I could use the Steam Deck. I can start streaming Steam Deck games and maybe have some fun with that. So I set up OBS, and I've got this little Cam Link thing to work with the capturing output. The Steam Deck. And I'm playing with OBS, and I'm routing audio over the place and whatnot. And my poor little MacBook Air, first time I've seen it, is like the processing thing has gone up to about 95%. It's going, what are you doing to me?
It's like you turn everything off, and it's like it sends you a little message saying, you know, Carl, I really wasn't meant to do this kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. But it kind of worked. I mean, it doesn't look... The only problem is, unless you've got... Under certain situations, the Steam Deck only outputs at 720p. There is a way to make it go into 1080p, but obviously that affects the quality of it because it's only a small processor in there, really. It's amazing what they've done with it. But anyway, but my capture card doesn't advertise itself as a 1080p possibility. So it's stuck at 720p at the moment. I've got to figure that out. I did a few little demos and played around with it. Possibly it could be something to do in the future. But as always, it's all about time. Finding the time to do it.
Yeah.
And I might, as I mentioned the other time I was on, my work situation means I might soon have lots of time to play about with it. But
that's
not at the moment.
A good thing.
No, that's not. So, yeah. So that's what I've been doing when on my Mac.
Ooh. Thank you. Thank you for that. I'm still on the Rode NT1. It's connected to a bunch of different crap, but it's still the same microphone, and we've already talked about that. Now, today, what we're going to do is, and we're doing this live, so who the hell knows what's going to happen. We're going to play around with some of the AI programs that both Carl and I, mostly me, have become obsessed with over the course of the last couple of weeks. Now, Carl uses, you use ChatGPT, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I use it for...
You have like a paid version of that?
Yep. I use it for like summarization of stories and stuff like this, and helping me compile tweets and things like this. It's really good. Once you learn how to use it properly, I shall say.
Yeah. And I use Copilot, which is included with Microsoft 365. And just recently started using that for developing all of the artwork for the various podcasts that I'm involved in. And I know Carl has been doing that for a while, but I kind of resisted that. And I don't know why, because once I started using it, it was like, oh, this is great. I love this. And from there, I found that Copilot has a plugin to create songs from this. What is it? Suno? Is that what it is?
Suno. Yeah.
Suno. And it's fantastic. It really, really works well and gives you some... I mean, you basically just give it the basic parameters of what kind of song you want as far as genre and what's the song about and all the rest of that. And it'll give you a 1 to 2 minute song, and they sound really good in almost any of these different genres. So hopefully we'll actually have some people come in here, because I would like some suggestions live from the audience on, you know, artwork to make or songs to make. Or something along those lines. And when editing this show is going to be such a pain in the neck, because I don't think I'm going to include in the audio version all of the stuff as we were creating all this, because if you can't see it, for the most part, it doesn't really matter. So we'll talk, like, we're including this bit here where we're talking about the programs that we're going to use. But for the most part, I'm not going to include that, you know, when we actually start making stuff in the audio version, because that'll just bore the crap, I think, out of people more so than, you know, usual. There's been a lot of work on the next Macstock conference and expo. Mike Potter has been putting out a ton of stuff. And that's this year. It's going to be July 12th through the 14th in Woodstock, Illinois. If you can't afford the scratch of traveling there, or if you live in the Chicago area, you really, really need to check out this show, because it's just so much fun. And there's lots of great people that attend it. And there's a lot of information there to be had. But the big thing for me is the camaraderie. And it reminds me a lot of a lot of the get-togethers that we used to have at the old Macworld Expo, he said, with his cane in one hand and his voice all creaky in the other, where a lot of people would just get together and just have a lot of fun. And that's the camaraderie of the Macstock Conference and Expo is kind of what makes this show, as well as all the information that you can get to it. So you can find out more information on it by going to MacstockConferenceAndExpo.com, or just type in Macstock into any kind of search engine, and eventually you'll find your way there. I don't know if I have the Gaz's snippets thing. I don't think I do, actually.
Nice work.
Yeah, well, you know, I should have had it, but I don't. So instead, we're just going to go right into Gaz's snippets. Da-da-da.
Bum-bum-bum.
Ba-ba-bum. So Apple this month sued its former employee, Andrew Oude, A-U-D-E, in California state court, alleging that he'd breached the company's confidentiality agreement and violated labor laws by leaking sensitive information to the media and employees at other tech companies. Apple has demanded, I say, a jury trial and is seeking damages in excess of $25,000. Now, in the grand scheme of things, when we talk about, you know, the EU going after Apple for, you know, $500 million, and the Department of Justice going after Apple for like these huge sums of money, and then you turn around and say Apple wants $25,000, it's kind of like, okay, well, if you find like 15,000 more people like that, then we're talking real money. But it's going to take some time to get there. Now,
was this that person? Remember a little while ago, it was rumored that Apple were putting out fake leaks, information. Was that the result? This guy.
Oh, they catch people like this all the time, and you'd think people would learn that. You know, they see a couple of leaks, and they start to narrow it down by putting out fake information through, you know, it's almost like a security bracket. Like right now, we've got the March Madness basketball tournament coming on, or that's on, and it's going from 64 teams to 32 teams to 16, so on and so on and so on. Well, Apple's doing the same thing, except it's security madness. And so they say, well, we've got these, you know, however many number of employees that we think could be involved, and they're on these teams. So they start putting out fake information, see where the next bit comes out, and then, we can eliminate these people here, and so now we're going to put it out on just these particular branches. And eventually they get it down to the point where it's like, okay, it's this idiot here. And I call him an idiot because not only was he leaking confidential information, which is a great way to completely ruin your career, no matter what tech company that you're working for. He used his Apple-issued phone going through Apple's servers to do most of the leakage. So it's not like, you know, once Apple got his phone, it's like, yeah, it's pretty clear who's doing this here. So, yeah, Andrew, you really didn't think this through very, very well. And for future leakers, we love the information, but you're only screwing yourself in the long run. All right. I don't know if you've heard this one, Carl. According to rumors, Apple will release new iPads in early May. The release will center on revamped versions of the iPad Pro and iPad Air. According to Bloomberg, the Pro models will get crisper, new OLED displays, OLED, short for organic light emitting diode. That's what happens when you do some copy and paste. While the iPad Air will get a 12.9-inch version, and likely many of these updated models will be outfitted with the M3 processor. Had you heard about this?
Yeah, rumors, they keep coming up. I mean, the rumor was, like I say, they can't get those OLED displays working to the extent they wanted them to. So that's what's caused the delay, apparently. But who knows? It's all rumors, isn't it?
Rumors.
From that Mark Gurman.
Hey, McGurman. Oh, God. There's a couple of guys, that, as soon as I see that they're the ones that have put out these rumors, it's like, okay, you're basically going, putting out whatever you can, seeing what sticks onto the wall. Most of it is like so completely obvious. So you can sit there and bask in the glory and say, see, I told you that's what was going to happen. Well, what about this other one? Oh, I don't know anything.
Well, he's got a Philly's newsletter up, hasn't he? So he's got to put something in there.
Yeah.
That's it.
So next one, Apple's stock price is down, Carl. It's down.
No.
Yeah, because it doesn't have AI and is fighting with both the EU and the DOJ in the US as they try to force Apple to allow third-party app stores, say a lot of analysts with nothing better to do.
Well, okay, yes, probably. If they're being attacked from all sides by these supposedly legal bodies, which are called into question in some cases, but there you go. Investors are not going to want to invest their money when they think they've got a big payout coming at some point, but, you know, just a joke, really.
Yeah, it pretty much is. Apple's annual developers conference is set to open June 10th and run through June 14th. As per usual, any hardware announcements are likely to be afterthoughts as they concentrate on new versions of the macOS, iOS, iPadOS, Apple TVOS, and VisionOS. Have I left anything out there? Is there like AirPod OS or something like that? I don't even know anymore. Oh, WatchOS. I didn't even put... How could I miss... WatchOS. WatchOS as well. Slap me for being a bad boy. There's supposed to be announcements concerning AI. How and which of these operating systems will get it first has not been announced, of course. And whether there will be standalone applications using AI as well, or if it's all just going to be, you know, baked in kind of thing, because that's worked so well with S-Lady. Yeah. All right.
They need to do something, though, because it's kind of embarrassing. I asked Siri the other day, actually, because it was raining in England. Shock, horror. I know.
What?
But I said, how long is it going to be raining for? And it does know this because it tells you on the weather app. So what would you think Siri's response would be?
I have a feeling I know, but go ahead.
Here's a website.
Yeah.
For why?
While you're driving in your car or delivery van or what have you. My wife, I think I talked about this last week. My wife was trying to find out, and it just happened today, as a matter of fact, as well, was trying to find out what time the college, you know, the March Madness college basketball games were going to be on today. And it was like, instead of just saying, well, North Carolina is playing Duke at blah, 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 it's like, here's some helpful links for you. And she's like, just tell me. It is embarrassing. It is. But at the same time, I kind of wonder how much of this is like Me Too, because Google is adding or talking about adding all kinds of AI in. Microsoft has Copilot, which is a standalone app. It's I don't know how well it's baked into their, you know, things like Excel and Word and all the rest of that. So yeah, how much of it is just, go ahead.
We've all been trained. Like, we've got HomePods, which are, you know, don't really do, but we've got the Amazon equivalent, the Echoes and stuff. And Google's had their ones, and it's fake, obviously, but you can have a conversation with them. You can't have a conversation with Siri. And I know it came from a time where it was existed to do different things, literally to turn lights on or off, literally to tell you what song is playing, literally to tell it what song to play next and things like that. But Apple's bought so many AI companies over the last few years, but nothing seems to come of them. And I know they use machine learning, and that's great. AI, machine learning is a subsection of AI and stuff. We all know that. But but it just seems dumb. That's it. I mean, as you might see later on when we go through our various apps that we use, like, you can put ChatGPT later on your phone as an app and have a conversation with it over the mic, and she answers back and forth, and you just get into a little conversation. And it's great. And it's amazing. And you think, why can't Siri do this?
Why not? Why the hell not? Why can't it? It is very frustrating. The last thing I have before we move on, Amazon, and I did this, and I should know better, but I did do this. Amazon is adding Palm biometrics to make purchases. It's called Amazon One. It's a separate app and can be used for payment, entry to venues, age verification, and loyalty rewards. If you already have an Amazon account and a payment method with that account, you can tie it to Amazon as well. The app will take pictures of your palms, and special readers at venues will be able to scan it for payment or entry. Amazon claims it's 99.99% accurate, is what they claim. So, do you guys have Amazon stores there in the UK? Like grocery stores and things like that?
We have some of those grocery places where you meant to just walk in, pick up what you want, and walk out again. I got one near me down in Chingford.
And it's assuming you're actually going to pay for it as compared to just going in.
Well, I don't know. It's implied it nowadays, isn't it? All the videos I see on Twitter, it's kind of implied that you don't pay for anything anymore. You just walk out with it, apparently, and that's fine. Who needs to be a law-abiding citizen in this day and age?
That's crazy talk. I have one, and I'm probably going to try it maybe next week, though maybe not, because, but next Friday, my wife and I are going to Rochester, New York to see the eclipse. So it's going to be a very short week for me anyway. I'm so looking forward to that. That's going to be so much fun. Anyway, that's unless you have anything, that's all I have for Gaz's snippets.
No, that's it. Yeah, obviously I'm looking forward to WWDC, but it's a few months away yet. So that's it, really.
Okay. Dun, dun, dun. That's it for Gaz's snippets. Now we're going to move on to some fun stuff. We're going to start talking about some of this AI. Talk about the AI as compared to, you know, being on the Facebooks.
Well, what about the argument against AI at the moment that seems to be raging in some quarters where, you know, it's rubbish. It's going to end the world. If you use it, you're not creative at all. And, you know, those arguments. Have you heard those arguments?
Sure. And they're absolutely true.
Yeah, exactly. it doesn't matter, does it?
It takes absolutely almost zero effort. I mean, yeah, okay. You'd say, like for Suno, for example, you say, okay, I want a rock song concerning a pumpkin that wants to do Broadway. And that's all you have to put in. Create a song about a pumpkin, a rock song about a pumpkin that wants to do Broadway. And it will create it for you. And it'll make up the words. It'll make up, you know, the chorus. It'll make up the music. And it'll give you not just one, but two different versions to choose from. And it's the same thing with like the graphics that I've been using. I almost said creating, but I'm not creating them. Copilot is creating those. I'm just following along and putting in, you know, my Mac podcast, blah, 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 and then the name of the show at the bottom. But at the same time, when I wasn't using it, I was basically just grabbing images off the net and throwing them into to Acorn, the graphics program that I use, and doing the same thing. At least this way, it's original artwork. It's not, and by original, I mean, nobody else made it. It was made in this program. So I completely agree with that statement that anything that you're making in AI, and whether it's, you know, a short outline for a script or a song or a graphic image or a short story or whatever, if all you're doing is putting in, well, I want five characters that are fighting each other because there's vampire zombies out there or whatever, you know, that's, you're coming up with the idea is like just the beginning of the creative process. There has to be follow-up, and all of the words and all of the music and all of the graphic images should be coming from you and not being created by AI. And we'll see where it goes. Right now, it's just kind of fun. I'm enjoying using it. But it's not the be-all to end-all of the creative process, and you shouldn't rely on it. And if you do, don't kid yourself that you've created something that's like new and original. No, something else did. It wasn't you.
The problem, I think, comes is when people try to pass it off as something they've created through blood, sweat, and tears or whatnot.
Yeah.
I mean, like you say, I use it for a bit of fun. I use it for cover art on the show. Who cares? Otherwise, I just copy something from someone else's work anyway from the internet and put it on there. I know that's bad as well, don't get me wrong. But otherwise, it's just the same cover every week, which is boring. And music, you know, the music is great. It's the thing Guy's about to talk to. It's great because, again, if you're doing video content, which I've obviously done in the past and stuff, and you're looking for that filler piece of music, you go online and you buy some generic Muzak, you know, to lay underneath your stuff, unless you can make it yourself. Now, you can just literally type in a few, I want some jolly music, click the instrumental
option. That's 30 seconds long or whatever.
And you've got something to bed down under your audio temporarily. Just something quick. The problem might arise is if you're not very good at your job, you might have a problem very soon. So if you are in the creative sphere and you're just struggling to get by and you're sort of like hiding the fact that you're not very good at your job or whatever, you might have a problem moving forward because these things are good now. In a year or so, they're going to be much, much better. You might have a problem.
Yeah. So, you know, get better at what it is you're doing.
Well, no, use them. Use them to enhance your skills that you already have.
Yeah.
Just because if you say to it, for example, give me 10 ideas for a scene, then it's just given an idea. And then you can, I mean, there's only 7 stories apparently anyway. I remember reading in creative writing class once. And it's just how you adapt those different segments of the story that make it a thrilling, engaging property, unless you work for Hollywood, when you just suck all the life and joy out of every product you do nowadays. But yeah, independent films are going to come a long way. And technology, I think this kind of technology is going to help, because you've already got like Hollywood spending like hundreds of millions of pounds, dollars to produce movies nowadays. And yet this kind of stuff is going to help independent producers create what looks like high quality special effects and stuff much, much cheaper.
Yeah. Well, and not only that, one of the reasons why we had the Hollywood strike was, you know, the writers and a lot of the people that work on these movies are becoming very concerned that they won't be necessary anymore, that they'll just put in, okay, well, you know, Bob sees Linda at a grocery store hugging someone and assumes that his marriage is over. Give me a 30-minute outline of a script that's going to handle that. And that, you know, and it'll just poop out whatever the hell it is that it's put in to or that you put in to say, give me this for this for this for this.
And I bet the reason they were scared about that is because some of them had already done it.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me at all.
Guarantee you.
Okay. In case I do separate the demonstrations from the explanations, now I'm using Copilot and Suno. What AI programs are you using, and what can you tell me about them?
Well, I use, like I say, ChatGPT mainly for most of the things I do related to my show and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also used it for work things as well. Like we had a little bit of a dispute between the staff and the company, and we got together and I asked everyone, "Look, okay, give me what's annoying you at the moment." And I got this list of about 10 different points. And they're obviously like all in driver speak because, you know. So I put them into ChatGPT and I said, "We're in a dispute with management at the moment. Here are the 10 points we're annoyed about. Can you put this in a non-confrontational format that looks like we're open to moving things forward?" And it went away and it came back and everything was laid out perfectly. Everything was like in corporation speak, so to speak.
Yeah.
And we presented it and we pretty much got everything we was demanding. So that was good.
Okay. You know, and this is something we should have done before we started. Do you know how to bring your screen into StreamYard here?
Or I don't actually. But it's all right. I mean, it's okay. Because mine's mainly going to be ChatGPT and stuff. So I'll read it out.
If you look at the control panel at the bottom of your screen, there's one that says present.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically how you do it. So let's start off with Copilot. So I'm going to bring this up on the screen. Share screen. Window. Where is it? There it is. Share. All right. So, and let's solo this. So here's Copilot. Give me something. Give me anything. Something to create.
What, like a picture or something?
Yeah.
A man sitting in a basement with too many microphones. I can't imagine where I got that image from.
I don't know. With too many microphones. And
I take it you're not a touch typist guy.
No, I am not. And he's sad.
That's
really all you have to do. And then it just goes out and says, okay, I'm going to make that. And it will eventually give us some images here, which is, and this is why I was going to cut a lot of this out from the, okay. So there you go. What do you think about that? And
it's
even
process
better.
Each week, isn't it? Before you start a show. What microphone?
I know. What microphone am I going to use? I can go between a square. Let's turn this into a landscape. Because this is the image size that I usually use in order to have it on the My Mac podcast as graphic art. So, and there you go. Look at that.
Wow.
Isn't it? That's like super amazing. And I'm not wearing shoes for some reason, which is really funny.
How do you know?
And there's a way to, let's see, I'm just going to say it looks good. You've got some filters down here, pixel art, watercolor, block print, steampunk, which I love. Let's hit steampunk.
Uh-oh.
And see what happens with that. But this stuff, and it's so easy to use. And if you're already using Microsoft 365, there's no extra charge for this. You can just go in and play with this to your heart's delight. It doesn't really look that different. It looks exactly the same. I guess because it was kind of a tech image to begin with.
It was, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little bit different. Let's do watercolor. So, and again, I'm not doing anything. I'm basically just going, okay, well, try this filter or do that filter and see what comes up. And it's going to try to create that. You know, you kind of wish it was a little faster, but at the same time, you know, it's not taking any real extra effort on your part. And if you like that particular image, you just hit looks good. And then you're done. You can share it. You can, you know, here's your, you can the link to that particular thing. And you can share this with other people. At least I should be able to. Sometimes I've had some problems getting that to work. Let me go into messages and see if that actually did copy that URL. Yeah, it did. Okay, so I just sent that image to Carl over there on messages. And that was really all it took.
Yep.
And once I have this image, I can bring it into another graphics program. And I know there's a way to add text and stuff, but because of the nature of these programs, it's not going to be consistent. You're not going to get the same text in the same area for every single image that you may create. So for me, it's just easier to say, okay, give me the basic image. And this is probably the image that I'm going to use for today's show because I kind of like that. And then just add the text to the top and the bottom of the image in another program. Now, doing images isn't the only thing that this can do. You've also got, it says a designer. I'm not really quite, you know, and some of this I haven't even really tried. So you can ask it. I don't know what that does. Personal shopper, if you're looking for something in particular, I guess it'll go out and try to help you find it. A vacation planner. So I'm going to let's use this. Let's say Rochester, New York. Rochester, New York. And we'll see what it comes up with.
Just sometimes it just takes a while to come up.
Yeah.
Variety of attractions and activities to explore. Here are some highlights. The Strong National Museum of Play.
Whatever that is.
So it's basically, it's just listing various things that you might want to visit. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, Google could do that technically as well.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives you links. It's giving you a map of the area where all of those things are. And yeah, and Google, you're right. Google can easily do a lot of this as well. But I think that just having it concentrated on this one particular page, and it's very specific on the things that it's giving you. So I think that's
well. Bear in mind, you just typed in three words there: Rochester, New York. You could maybe go deeper into it. And what's the? Because it had a few example questions when you initially went to that page. Can you refresh that and see?
Yeah. What are some good restaurants? Tell me more about the history of Kodak. Are there outdoor activities near Rochester? Let's hit restaurants and see what comes up.
Well, again, that's just got to do a Google search effectively enough. Yeah. So, but I was just wondering if it could come up with an itinerary or something like that. That's all.
Well, edibles. Tell me what you mean.
Edibles? Hang on. Isn't that druggy things?
No, well, yeah, but I think this is just like a regular place to go to get
that's
something
a strange
to eat.
Name.
Yeah. Okay. What's the best pizza place? Tell me more about local breweries. Are there any vegan restaurants? So, you know, you can easily just it actually is like trying to anticipate.
How about create a pub crawl? Let's see if it understands what a pub crawl is.
Okay.
In that same location.
Create a pub crawl for Rochester.
This could save me a lot of time in future.
And let's see what it does. That's a good idea. Let's see.
Searching.
Certainly.
Oh, it's just doing tours. That's no.
Bar crawl events.
See, we've
kind of pushed the limit there.
We spotted a gap in the market there. Yeah. The AI.
What's the easiest way I can get drunk and walk around the city at the same time? It also has a cooking assistant. So, let's see. Let's say lemon chicken. Two words. It's a delightful dish.
Delightful.
And it's giving me at least the ingredients for easy lemon chicken.
So I just put in the same thing for ChatGPT, which I'm okay. Checker. Right, so pub crawl in London can be a fantastic way to explore the city's rich pub culture and vibrant nightlife. That's why I go out, not to get ratted. Here's a curated route that takes you through some iconic and must-visit pubs across different neighbourhoods. The Mayflower, nice. Rotherhithe. Start your crawl. I'm not going to Rotherhithe. Start your crawl at its historic pub that offers riverside views and cosy atmosphere. It's known for its traditional English pub fare and owls. Next, head to London's oldest riverside pub. The prospect of will be whopping. Historical. You got to get across the river. A variety of beers and picturesque views of the Thames. Moving on, visit the infamous pub now known for its association with Jack the Ripper, the 10 Bales Field. I've drunk there not too long ago, actually. It's a great spot to enjoy some local beers and soak in the history. And it goes on and on and on and on.
Yeah, so that's it's very, actually great. If you're looking for a pub crawl, sounds like ChatGPT is going to do it better than Copilot will. Copilot, you're letting us down. You're really
and
letting
I should
us
have,
down.
Because I just said London, and London's a fairly big place, you know. I should have
heard of the place.
Yeah, I should have, like, zeroed in on an area, maybe, and then done it. But there you go.
Last thing. Well, that's really not the last thing. There's one other thing I'm going to show. But you have a fitness trainer here. So if I put in workout plus 60 men.
You want to work out with 60 men?
Well, not at the same time.
Right, okay. Just thinking about it.
Yeah. And so it's wonderful that you're looking to lose. It's like, why are you giving me these little pep talks? You know, just give me the information.
Start with a warm up.
Yeah. Incorporate strength, add cardio. So it's giving you like different things based on the parameters that you put in to do a workout for a man who is plus 60 years old. And
What you could also find is how your prompt, how much information you put in your prompt reflects how much information, good information you get back. You can put a generic prompt in and you'll get very little back. You'll just get, you know, obvious things. But then if you sort of like zero in on this. So for example, if it remembers what you've just typed in, Guy, which you should do, you can now ask it something specific, like say you've got bad knees or something like that. You know, I mean, what could it suggest if you had bad knees? It shouldn't be able to suggest running, for example. Keep conversation going. It says, ask me anything. Just carry on with the conversation. Say, I've got bad knees. What can you suggest? Just type in, I've got bad knees. What do you suggest?
Well, not Sylvester Stallone.
No, that's true. That's it.
Okay, and then it's going into a workout for somebody that has bad knees.
Swimming. There you go. Swimming, cycling, huh? Upper body training. Chair yoga.
Yeah. Tai Chi.
Tai Chi.
Which is basically, Tai Chi, for people who don't know, is basically Kung Fu forms.
In slow motion.
In slow motion, yeah. And it is quite a workout. I can assure you of that. All right, so if we go back to the regular Copilot, and one of the things that you're going to see is something called plugins. And this is how I found out about Suno, was going to the plugins. And it's not doing what it's supposed to do. Let me refresh. Plugins. Wow. It is like not cooperating.
And you've done it live as well.
This is live. And, you know, Microsoft, this is not looking good for you. What's up with this? Okay, well, the plugins, there's like six or seven main plugins that I can't show you because they're not appearing, but they are there, and it was how I found out about Suno. Let's go ahead and switch to that. Let's see if it'll do this live. Yes, okay. So here's Suno, and you can... This is like such a crazy. These are like all of some of the various songs that I've made, and there's a lot of them. But let's come up with a new song, Carl. So what kind of? Give me a genre.
Bluegrass.
Okay. Create a bluegrass song about
a zebra called Jeff.
A what?
A zebra, as you say, probably.
A zebra
called Jeff.
Called Jeff. And is there anything unusual about Jeff the zebra?
Who hasn't got stripes, he's got spots.
Who has spots instead of stripes.
What could possibly go?
And it starts to make the song. You can see that there's two new tracks being added there on the bottom. And it usually takes like 30 to 60 seconds for it to do its thing. And you can see one that I made for my son Peter called Yes, the Mummy. Because that's like the ride that they really, really like at Universal Studios. All right, so it's going to call this song Spotted Jeff. So I like it already. I'm very curious to see what it's going to create. The lyrics is going to create two verses and a chorus. And because this is this works better if you do it through their website instead of doing it through Copilot. You can do it through Copilot, but that's only going to basically give you about a 1 minute song. And I found that a lot of times it cuts that off before the song's actually completed. Mm-hmm. And this is only version 3 of this program. So who knows where they're going to take it in the future. But one of the cool things, as we wait for this, as we wait for this to come up, is you can write your own lyrics, including verses and choruses and all kinds of other things, and then have it create a song for those lyrics, and it'll do that as well. All right, so here is Spotted Jeff says, folksy bluegrass lively. Can you hear it?
Not yet. It sometimes takes a second to start playing, doesn't it? That's the trouble.
It should have. It should have. It looks like it's already
down in the meadow where the tall grass grows. There's a zebra named Jeff. Everyone knows he's got spots instead of those classic stripes. A zebra like him you won't see every day of your life. He prances and dances, grace and style. With his spotted coat he can always make you smile. When the sun sets and the moon shines bright, Spotted Jeff stands out, he's a beautiful sight. Spotted Jeff, oh, what a sight to see. With his spots so unique, he's the life of the prairie. Spotted Jeff, he's one of a kind, a zebra with spots, a friend hard to find.
So it's actually let's very briefly listen to the next version.
Yeah, it always takes a little while to load up when you first do them.
And it's the same lyrics that was
same lyrics.
The previous
just does
one.
A different song. Even does the album art.
Yeah, except it's showing you like a regular zebra. It's not showing you a spotted zebra, which is too bad.
Yep. Have you pressed play?
Down in the middle where the tall grass grows, there's a zebra named Jeff everyone knows. She's got like spots instead of those classic stripes.
Let me move on a little bit.
A zebra like him you won't see every day of your life. Prances and dances with grace.
Okay, so there's the bluegrass song about Spotted Jeff. let's do another one with like a rock beat. How about create a grunge song about two men who talk all the time but don't listen to each other. Okay. And the possibilities are endless with this kind of thing.
So I've heard about this service obviously, for a fair while. But I never looked into it because I always thought, well, how good could it possibly be? So I was just, whatever. Yeah, okay. It's going to sound like a horribly computer-generated verse of noise. And then you shared one with us, and then I started playing it with myself, and I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
I mean, I went and had to lay down a subscription straight away because it's like £8, I think it is, a month.
Yeah.
But what that gives you, it gives you obviously much more credits because you get, I think, about 100 credits a day or something. I'm not sure. But
yeah, not that many.
But if you pay as well, you can go into a song and say, continue this song, and it will fill it out. And then once you've got part two or part three, you can highlight them and combine them into one full-length song, if you so wish.
Yeah,
so,
a 3 or 4 minute song. And you get about 2 minutes regardless. And if you're trying to do like a podcast intro, like I did one for Dave Ginsberg for In Touch with iOS, And he was so enamored with it that he went out and started doing some for himself.
Sally.
So I did one for the Matt Geek Gab. But the original one I did was for sort of for mymac.com, even though I didn't have it in there. I just said, you know, create a song for a podcast about two Mac men. And it just blurted out this song. And it was so good. It was like, oh, I got to keep playing with this. So then I did one about, it was like a heavy metal song about a man who's afraid of ducks and clowns. And it had that whole rah, 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 kind of thing that you hear with so many of like the death metal groups. And the amount of pleasure and laughter that I was getting from using this program to create these things is not only is it easy to do, but the results that you get back are pretty amazing. Okay, so now we have Silent Conversation, and it says alternative grunge angsty. So let's hear what this one is going to sound like.
We sit in silence, tension grows. Words unspoken, wow. Only eyes that close. We talk all night, but don't say a thing.
Oh my God.
Our voices clash, a sound that stings. We hear words, but don't.
What did you say? I'm sorry.
I say it's scarily good.
It is. It is. And you can actually, I'll have to see if I can find it. I actually put in one time live to be like a live kind of recording.
Yeah, it did it.
Let me hear what this second one is real quick.
That sounds kinda a lot like Green Day. Yeah.
So, and you know, if you do this enough and you have enough credits, I imagine you could come up with like the next Nirvana song or something along those lines. Let me see if I can find the one that was like supposed to be live.
What I enjoy doing with it is because I have tried myself to write a country song, which is kind of hard when you're in Britain. But it kind of works. But anyway, I did a song about a series of a point in my life about something that happened, and I did the whole lot. I had like two verses and a chorus, and I thought, well, I need a little bit more help with this because some time had passed. So firstly, I put what I had already done into ChatGPT and said, this is a country song about what the situation was, and I said, can you fill in another verse, a bridge, and an outro? And it finished off the lyrics, like, and I changed a few of them, and then I posted that into Suno, and I said, make it into a country ballad thing, and it did it, and it did it in two parts, and then I cut, like I say, I joined them together and created a whole song, which I'm not going to play at the moment, but it was amazing, and I just thought, my God, and even though, and it was toe-tappy as well, which was incredible. And although I'm never going to share it, I'm not loaded up to iTunes or anything like Apple Music or whatnot, but it would be good enough for me to listen to for my own personal enjoyment, because it's my, well, the first two-thirds of it is my lines. Yeah, and it creates so many possibilities. And if I was musically inclined, which I'm not,
no,
I would use it to, you could use it as a base to go in and do your own riffs and stuff like this based on top of it and lay down backing tracks and whatnot,
yeah,
like that. So it's so freeing for, you know, Joe Bloggs, who hasn't got the talent, unfortunately. So they can use this to have a bit of fun with. If they then start passing it off as professional works, yes, that's obviously wrong on a moralistic point of view.
And actually there are things against doing that
I'm sure.
In Suno, because you have to, like, you can take these songs and post them and sell them if you want in Apple Music, but you have to provide credit back to Suno, because it's Suno that's actually, other than the in your case, other than the words, it's almost like Lennon McCartney. You know, it would have to be Madden Suno kind of thing in order for it to be protected, I guess.
If you just go back to Suno a minute, their front page has got like the top rated songs that other people have done. If you go back to Explore, I think it is.
Yeah, actually, real quick, let me show you this live arena rock one I did called I Hate All Tech and Those Who Speak.
Everybody go!
Welcome to Lifetime!
And what's cool about this, not only do they have that opening bit where you hear the crowd and all the rest of that, and your typical, you know, all right, we're going to get this song started with some hard pounding drums, and well, that too, probably. And then we're going to bring in like a wailing guitar, and then the guy's going to start to talk. But as he's singing, you can still hear the crowd in the background. And it's crazy how well this works. All right, so let's go to Explore. And so these are like a bunch of songs that you can make public that other people have created. And just to pick one here at random, How to Cook Sausage on Grill. And that is going to be done in, it says hard style dance. So,
uh-oh.
And it's got the whole recipe.
1 pound fresh sausage links, such as bratwurst, Italian sausage, or kielbasa.
Pay it a gas, grill to medium high, 450 degrees, L one side, or push hot coals to one side of a charcoal grill. Place sausage links on the oil grates, over gas grill to medium.
Okay.
Oh, I wonder, you remember those, you remember when you got a test or something and you've got to remember all the, I don't know, the capitals of
yeah,
places and what? I wonder if you could put that in as lyrics and then have a create a tune, a snappy tune that you could memorize. So then when you're in the test, you sort of sing the song back to yourself and you get the answers.
Yeah, I think it very well could. But that is brilliant. And here's another one here. It says, whiskey, beer, and swing done to Irish folk. Do you want to hear the beginning of that one?
You know I do.
In the heart of Dublin town where the music roars, there's a pub with swinging beats and whiskey pours. People dancing in the crowded smoky haze to the tunes that mix tradition with a modern craze. Oh, yeah. Whiskey, beer, and swing.
Okay.
A bit slanderous there.
That is, and I would love to see, and I don't know if you can, if it'll show you. Yes. You can actually see what it was that they put in to create this song. Let me zoom up on that right there. So they put in Irish folk, electro swing, electro Bassolini, whatever the hell that is. Double time at 240 beats per minute, jazz, wow, electro, swing revival, jump blues.
I didn't know you could put beats per minute in.
Neither did I. I wasn't aware of that. And okay, from experimenting is how I found out about the live thing. So if you wanted to do, like, what was that one that was making us laugh earlier? Oh, the recipe one. I don't see it now. How to cook sausage on grill.
Sausage.
You could take, let's see, if I took that, so it says hairstyle, dance, trance, fast BPM, hard kick. So you could put live in front of that, and it would probably be like all of your buddies sitting around the grill as you're talking about how you're making this sausage.
It is crazy. And of course, after, you can download it as well. You can stick that in the GarageBand. You can do all kinds of weird stuff to it as well.
Yes, yes.
You can do, instrumental version, put your own lyrics over the top of it, I suppose. I'm not quite sure how it all works. But, like, I was astounded. And there's now other things coming through to do similar things with video.
Yeah.
That's not released yet, but they keep teasing it on X about all these, you know, prompts they'll put in, and it will show, like, a cinematic movie. None of this nonsense where images are blurring around, like, what was it, like Will Smith eating spaghetti. Those days have gone. This is just amazing stuff that they're now producing, which is why I can see, like, AI as it moves along becoming more and more accessible to a lot more people and opening up their creativity, but has been stuck behind their lack of skill, so to speak. Yeah. Just because you haven't got the skills, it don't mean you lack creativity.
Case in point. I was actually looking for something like that when I had that MacMen song. I would love to have, like, a little graphic that would go along with that so that I could use that for, like, an opening of a video podcast. But I couldn't find anything that wasn't so hard to use that I could just use images that I could use in one of those... Not presentation software. What is the name of that? I can't find it. Camtasia 2000 or something along those lines.
Not too long to go, I don't think, Guy, and there'll be something out there for you. It's crazy how fast this stuff has come on. And I still think that now you could probably do it. I think you should now turn the Maltese Cube into a musical.
We've been talking about that.
Yep.
And I actually, let me go back to my library. I actually have been playing around with a couple of different songs. Come on, library. That would, let me do that. And it's not showing me all of the various ones that I've made. Oh, that's too bad, because I would like to... I would have liked to have played at least one of them, but it was like a 1940s crooner type song that UMAX C-Series is singing to herself because Mac Entosh, the detective of the story, doesn't really pay attention to her in a romantic way. And it was brilliant. It was so good. It was like, oh, that's perfect. And it's going to take some juggling of the dialogue in order to fit the songs in, and then of course recording the voices for each one of the characters. And I imagine I could actually use AI to record the characters.
Well, there is,
and you have that actually. You have
11 Labs. So this is 11 Labs where you can record. So I've done it in the past. Let me see if I can bring up what I've got in the past. If you've listened to Mac and Forth, you've probably heard this before somehow. Actually, it's just going to take a while to load up.
You did one with me, with my voice.
I did one with you, yeah. So, let me just bring it up. Where have I put them all? I put them in the... oh, yes.
It may not play.
Maybe.
You know what, Gaz?
What's that?
As you know, I've...
Go away. Oh.
You know what, Gaz?
What's that?
As you know, I've been doing podcasts for a long time.
A very, very long time.
And I have constantly been searching for that one microphone to make me sound so sexy and astute that absolutely no one would question my knowledge and authority of the Apple community.
Well, I would, naturally, always.
Well, yes, apart from you, Git.
now that was a few generations ago. They've come on much more since then. And it's just crazy to, like in the past, for example, they couldn't, with the British voice accent, or London accent in my case, right, it made us sound too posh, right? So
yes, totally, Gaz was complaining about that.
Yeah, so I think, I can't remember what I say in this one, so I'm playing this.
So I've come to the conclusion that, in fact, The Last Jedi is a masterpiece of filmmaking. The plot is in no way dumb, but a rare glimpse of a genius storyteller who is so good that they used their first draft and apparently made very few changes, even after other obviously lesser mortals pointed out inconsistencies and plot issues littered throughout. Fortunate the almost godlike talent paid them no heed and forged onward with his myopic vision, and as a result we can, to this day, bask in the wonder and dominance that has become of the Star Wars brand.
So yeah, I sound a bit too posh on that one. I'm sure if I did it now, they've got...
And kind of monosyllabic, if that's the right...
Yeah. But now... You can speak your own script into it, and it will copy. I mean, you can put
the
words
inflections
in.
Of your voice,
yes,
kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, so you can read it yourself, and then use one of their voices or one of your pre-recorded voices, and it will adapt how you speak to how they're speaking.
Well, because I know we had talked about, and this is completely off topic, we had talked about putting the Maltese Cube out as a multi-episode. Podcast, and I had actually contacted some people to do voices, and I'd actually gotten some back, but circumstances and time just kind of got away from me. And this was a couple of years ago, but we completely, Carl and I got together online like this and completely rewrote the story in a script form as compared to the bad form
no,
that it was in
form.
Before in the book form. Yeah. As a matter of fact, if you want, and you don't have to, you can still buy this book on, I think it's on Amazon and Apple Books. I don't normally talk about it that much because I'm not particularly proud of it, but I think it would be brilliant as not only a podcast, but as a musical podcast. I think that would just be so funny. So that's something that Carl and I may talk about at some point in the future. And whether we get real people to record the voices or we use something like, what was the name of that company?
11 Labs.
11 Labs to do all of the various voices. Cause I think there's like 15, 16 different parts. It needs to be done. It really, really does. And it's just a question of you know, and here's the thing about this. For people who want to do something like this, have your story complete before you begin. Have all of the episodes recorded before you release anything. Because if you're halfway through and it's like, oh, I don't really know where to take this story, or some particular person had to drop out and couldn't finish, you know, their part of the script or whatever, it's just going to come off really, really bad. So have it complete, all of the episodes done and ready to be released before you do any of that.
Hollywood could learn from that. Stop starting films without a finished script.
Yeah, yeah, that would be nice. Or taking something that a director has completed and completely butchering it and adding more stuff from a different director. Anyway, that's we didn't announce it, but that was Gaz's tip.
Hit it. That's the end of Gaz's tips. That's most the end of Gaz's tips. That's most the end of Gaz's tips.
Is that the end of the tip?
Will you let me finish?
Gaz's tips.
Gaz, you are absolutely right.
Okay, so I didn't do the beginning of that. And probably should have, but I didn't think of it. Now we have, Carl, Do you get a lot of feedback on your show?
Well, we got Discord, so we get a lot of feedback via Discord. Like, people have conversations over there and stuff like this, and we get reviews, but that's about it.
Yeah, we kind of rely on people contacting us outside of, you know, either through email or something like that. And we don't always get a lot of stuff, but we did get this one from this guy, and I'm not really sure what his problem is. He's very, very mad about something for some reason, and he calls himself Mr. Cheesed Off. Are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Here it is.
Hello, Guy and Gaz, Mr. Cheesed Off here. What greater torment could life offer than listening to you two chuckleheads bleat on about the latest Apple-related news? Together, you're like the dynamic duo of drivel. It's like being trapped in a lift with two screaming fanboys and the bloody open button is broken. And the jokes, each quip hits the mark with the accuracy of a flipping stormtrooper. But let's be fair, where else can you get such insightful views into the world of Apple that you feel like you're being not so gently bludgeoned to death with a MacBook? I'd rather listen to a flipping dial-up modem symphony than tune into you two each week, but you just keep popping up on my podcatcher. It really cheeses me off. Goodbye.
Okay. Mr. Cheesed Off.
Wow.
He's not happy. Mr. Cheesed Off, as with everyone who contacts us for the first time, please send me your email address, and I will send you a wootie. Do you know what a wootie is, Carl?
I know what a wootie is. I'm not going to say that big W, little O thing.
Oh,
though,
it's, well, no, no. It's big W, big O, big O, big T, little I, little E, exclamation mark. That is a wootie. So, Mr. Cheesed Off, even though apparently you don't like the show very much, if you contact me, I will send you a specially crafted woo tea just for you. You're welcome. We also got a call from a new listener, not a new listener, but somebody who's contacted us for the first time, Canadian Ross. Canadian Ross, thank you so much for the comment. I'm going to play it here in just a second. Same thing applies to you. Please send me an email and make sure that you mention the name Canadian Ross in it so that I know it's from you. And I will send you a woo tea. Here's Canadian Ross.
Hey, it's Russ calling from St. John's, Newfoundland, Labrador in Canada.
Hi, Ross.
Not too often to hear any stories about Canada on your podcast, but on the last show you had two stories, and you had trouble pronouncing two of the places.
What?
Well, one place, Mississauga, which is right outside of Toronto, Ontario, and the other story was about an online service called Kijiji. I know you guys had trouble saying that one. Anyway, that's what I want to tell you. Great podcast. Wait till next week. Thanks again. Bye.
Thank you, Canadian Ross. We really, really do appreciate it.
And I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is Canadian Ross going out with Canadian Rachel, or are they on a break?
As far as I know, they're on a break. As far as I know. Oh. Hey, how about this? We actually have a comment.
Yeah, hey, Guy.
Where is it? Forgot how it to says, do hey. This. Hold on a second. Just says Facebook user. But that's Cletus exactly. Over there on the Books of Face. Hey, Cletus, I don't know when that came in. Doesn't say. Yes, it does. It was 6 minutes ago, and I didn't see it when it came in.
I did. I was there.
Oh, you should have said something.
Oh, okay.
Okay. If you would like to help support the show, we would really, really appreciate it. You don't have to. We'll keep on doing it whether you do it or not. You can go to patreon.com/MacPettit. You can go... You can go to coffee, ko-fi.com/MacPettit. You can pay a pal at paypal.me/MacPettit. Now, Carl, if people wanted to get a hold of you and say, what the hell were you thinking when you agreed to come on this show again?
I was drunk, wasn't I? You got me when I was drunk, as always.
As always. How would they do that?
You can get a hold of me on X. I'm not going to say formally the other place. X. Yeah. You can get me a Clause01001. Or you can come and follow us over on the Mac and Forth podcast. It's just add that into your, or search that on your favorite podcatcher of choice, and you should be able to find us on that.
And he's back. Just saw this on Facebook. Thank you, Cletus. If you want to get a hold of Gaz, you would open up your email client of choice and type in Gaz. That's G-A-Z. Cars. You say cars here.
It's cars. Sorry, I was miles away then.
At mymac.com. You can also find him on the X's. He is Gazmaz, G-A-Z, cars. M-A-Z.
Cars.
He's on Mastodon, Gazmaz at C.M.I. If you want to get a hold of both of us over there on the X's, we are Guy and Gaz, G-U-Y-A-N-D-G-A-Z.
Cars.
And you can contact Fearless Leader Tim, the creator of this podcast, and we've taken it in directions that he would not approve of if he knew ahead of time, but we don't. That's why we don't tell him ahead of time. And you would send that to feedback at mymac.com, F-E-E-D-B-A-C-K at mymac.com. If you want to get a hold of me, you can by, again, opening up the email of your client and typing in Guy, G-Y, at mymac.com. I can also be found over on the X's as Mac Parrot and Vert Shark. I am Mac Parrot over there on Counter Social and Mastodon.social. And we have a Google Voice number. Believe it or not, we do. And if you call that number, remember, if you're outside of the United States, you may incur a charge if you dial it directly. So probably the best way is just to record an audio snippet and send it to us. But if you wanted to call the Google Voice number, Carl, you got that in front of you?
No, hang on, let me scroll. It's... Well, I have money saying what he says here. So if this is wrong, this is wrong. It's 703-828-4677.
Outside that number the US, again is? Code,
then 1. 703-828-4677.
And that's the number right there. And this week, Carl, we're at the end of the show. Oh, go.
I just thought, you need to put that into Sooner and see if it comes out of a song. For your phone number.
Want to do that right now?
Well, I've got nothing better to do at the moment, so...
Okay, why not? Okay,
say,
so...
call us on blah, blah. Yeah. That's the lyrics.
We're going to go to create. Create a... What kind of music?
Rock.
Okay. Rock. Song about calling a Google
tender hooks. Tender voice. Hooks here.
Number.
As we wait for Guy to use his two fingers stab this into his keyboard.
828.
Oh, my chair's too squeaky.
4677.
Will it come up with anything? That is the question.
And I'll bring this up on screen.
As he thinks about it, sorry to ruin the end of the show like that.
Oh, and the song is going to be called Dialing Up the Frequency.
Oh, yeah.
So it's already got a title.
It's going to be a long one.
Oh, I should have said
though,
create a live rock song, just out of curiosity. If that was good. It's too late now. And I'm not going to... Don't stop the process.
No.
Never, ever stop the process.
Don't interrupt them. Then they get mad.
They do. And then they say, okay, you know what? That thing I was doing before? Forget about it. I'm going to start all over again.
What's that famous documentary where it's filming them trying to come up with the riffs? And they do a take on it on Father Ted. He goes, what, play the chord? No, not the first chord. We got the first chord. Play the second chord.
Wasn't that... it wasn't the Ruddles.
No, obviously, because that's a joke band.
Yeah. Well, this one was a joke band, too. This was...
was it? No, I think this is a proper
Michael
documentary.
Michael McKean and a couple of... Oh, damn it.
Well, it's not Spinal Tap, is it?
Spinal Tap, that's what I was trying to think of. This was a real thing?
I think it was. It's got one there. Got one already.
Oh, okay, so let's go ahead and hit this and see what it came up with.
I picked up the phone and dialed a number. Didn't know what to expect. Just took a chance. Got a voice on the line. Said, hello, how can I help you? I
said I'm calling in for the podcast dance.
Oh my god.
We talked about music, talked about life, shared our stories, connected deep inside. The conversation flowed, the laughter filled the air. I never wanna hang up, I just wanna be there. Dialing up the frequency, dialing in this song, calling that number where we all belong. Voices in conversation across the miles of time. Dialing up the frequency for our podcast prime.
Oh, I didn't give the number.
I know.
I picked up the phone and dialed the number.
So, we have to create one with lyrics and
and include the number.
Put it in post or something. Yeah.
I'll try to find it.
I'll do one after we finish recording.
Okay. So this week we're at the end of the show, everyone.
Sorry.
Thank you so very, very much for joining us today on the MyMac.com podcast. It is greatly, greatly appreciated. And this is already up on Facebook. So if you're listening to this, if you go to the Mac to the Future page, I don't know if you can see it if you're not a member. Probably should have done it on my own page. Doesn't matter. It's already too late. Once this is all edited and done, I will put links to it through the vertshark.com website. Forgot to mention that, as a matter of fact. The website I have is vertshark.com, where you can find all of the odds and all of the vids. There's also the YouTube channel, which you can like, share, subscribe, do whatever you want to do. Over there on YouTube, it is the Vert Shark channel, where you'll not only get the MyMac.com podcast videos, you'll also get the Guy's Daily Drive videos, where I drive in my car to work and talk about stuff. Exciting stuff. It's great. But you can find those over at the Vert Shark channel. Like, share, subscribe to that. Carl, I think that this week, I think we were good enough.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we were smart enough. What do you?
AI was. We weren't.
Yeah, this was all artificially intelligent conversation. And we were actually following a complete script, including the jokes and everything else. We're just reading it off a piece of paper. And that, doggone it, Gaz's amazing dog, Wilf, woof, 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 Wilf. Wilf, woof, where is he? We don't know. You can't find him. People like us.
Now, Gaz, why don't skeletons fight each other?
I don't know.
Because they don't have the guts.
Good dad joke. I like that. And,
thanks for downloading and listening to the MyMac Podcast. You can also hear other great podcasts on the MyMac Podcasting Network, like the Tech Fan Podcast, Three Geeky Ladies, Geekiest Show Ever, the Let's Talk Podcast, Essential Apple Podcast, and the Club PlayStation and Club Nintendo Podcasts.
Okay, your output is a little... Oh, come on, Apple. God.
A little what? High or low?
No, hold on. Freaking Apple changed the inputs and outputs because I put in some AirPods. It's like, can't you just leave that shit alone?
It does that. It's...
God, that pisses me off. It's like, leave it alone. I'm not asking you to change jack shit.
It thinks it knows better than you. That's the trouble.
And the fact that I have to go through this every single goddamn time, you know, can't there just be a little checkbox that says, don't change my f-ing audio settings?
Yes, I agree.
Okay, talk to me, Goose.
Hello, how are you today?
And now I can't hear you.
Very well.
now you've taken them out, it'll reset again.
Yeah, it changed. I put it back to default. Oh, okay. Oh, now it opens up iTunes because I put my AirPods back in. It's like, stop doing this automatically. Well, it's like I have my audio settings set up to a certain thing. unless I go in and make a change in system settings, leave it alone.
Mm.
Don't change around on me just because there's a new audio source that came in. See, I can hear you now.
Thing is, there's so many things to check. You got to check your mixer. You got to check the loopback or whatever. And then you got to check the Apple bit as well. Yeah. And any one of them can go wrong.
And your audio is super low, and it should not be.
Oh.
Because it was fine before. And you're hearing me fine?
Yep, perfect.
My levels look great.
Auto thing turned on. Yeah, automatically adjust mic volume.
Okay, I had to, in loopback, I had to turn off the Brave browser, which is what I use for StreamYard, and then turn it back on again. Hold on.
What?
And as I put these back in, how much do you want to bet music will come up again?
Yeah, probably. La, 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 la.
And there's music. Of course.
Ba, ba, okay. Ba.
And for people that watch the video, now, typically with the video, I don't include the after show at all, which is the part that we're in right now. And I probably won't this time either. But if you watch the original, which is over there on the Books of Face, you can see it all. The setup, the anger, the tears.
The whole the frustration, ugly truth.
The horror. But it was fun. This was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun with this today.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, and you know, because Gaz and I have talked about like doing this kind of thing live, but I'm not always a good boy when it comes to language.
Well, yeah, but hang on. It depends on your market, doesn't it? I mean, you're an adult podcast. Yes. About Macs and stuff. I don't think you've got a particularly young demographic listening to you. Possibly a few people out there. So, who cares? I mean, everybody swears. We're all grown
That's
up.
True.
I mean, I say bottom on occasion. Yeah, I know, but bottom. I just live on it. Yeah, but I mean, it's fun. It adds a dimension, and it also allows feedback. You know, when you get people chiming in and stuff like this.
Yeah.
So you do get like instant feedback and stuff. They are saying, look, he doesn't care. Our viewer doesn't care. See? Yeah. So we
don't
can
care
be
about what
mouthed.
Having it. But what is it that he doesn't care about?
Oh,
do you not
true.
Care about
not,
us doing it live,
not
or
doing
you don't
it live,
care
exactly.
about yeah. us cursing?
That's it.
It's got to be one or the other.
Plus, doing it live would add a whole new dimension to messing your brain up on how to set it up each week.
Yeah. Well, actually, you know, and this is
the language
more sausage making.
I beg your pardon.
Well, StreamYard, which is the right. program that I use to record the audio, and that I bring in Gaz, or I bring in you, or I bring in whoever. And it's super simple software. Now I've thought about using, there's another program that you can get like super geeky with and have like all kinds of custom screens and all that. And you know, StreamYard lets you do some of that, but not to this extent. It's called EVMux. Have you heard of this?
No.
You can do some amazing things when it comes to doing video, especially live video with EVMux. Or if you just want to record it and then edit it and release it separately. And there's a free version that only gives you a certain amount of time. Oh, for language. That's what he was talking about.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No, wrong one. There we go.
I mean, you could do the same with Ecamm, for example. I mean, OBS,
I don't
Ecamm.
Like Ecamm. I've tried on. Using it.
Is it Ecamm? Am I thinking the right thing? Hang on.
No.
Check.
No, that... Ecamm will let you set up all kinds of things the same way, but I don't like the interface. It's like spread out all over the place, and it's hard to find. Whereas EVMux gives you a column of the different kinds of things that you can add. I don't want to do it right now, but if you and I or Gaz and I or whoever get together at some point in the future, I would love to try using EVMux, because I've done a little bit by myself with it, but it does a lot of the same things that StreamYard does, where you can bring in other people's comments, you can have like separate screens, you can actually have like a live chat window. So all of this stuff that you and I see, excuse me, that you and I see in the comments section for StreamYard, is not showing up on the screen, but with Eevee Mux, it would be live. It would be coming in live. And that's very, very tempting. But the thing is, I've already got a subscription to StreamYard, which costs me X number of dollars per week. And I don't know if I want to incur yet like another cost to, because I don't make any money at this. I don't think any of us really make much in the way of money on this. I don't even think I'm making enough money to pay for all these services. I just enjoy doing it.
Buy less mics.
Buy less mics. Yeah. Find one you like this one.
Exactly. I'm looking at this one, this Eevee Mux thing. It says $25 a month for monthly payments, which is about the same as Ecamm, I think is. But their professional one.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not actually. It's a bit more expensive. But I mean, looking at the free one, you get like 2 hours a month free streaming and stuff like this. So 2 hours, total 30 hours monthly. Stream up to 2 hours each live. Oh, each live one is 2 hours.
Yeah.
Okay. Blah, blah, blah. 1080p. Okay. Good. I mean, yeah, it seems okay. I mean, it does all the, as you say, all the stuff that StreamYard does.
Yeah.
But it's just a case of playing with it and setting it up and then leaving it alone, guy. I know.
I have no idea what you mean.
So you can like add graphics and lower thirds and banners and, you know, integrated chat. Yep, integrated chat is in there, as you say. Chat to your participants from any platform you're streaming to. If you require further integrations, please contact us, blah, blah, blah. What's the extra give you? So they stick their own logo on your streams, basically.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
There's a waterfall.
You get the full pro scene builder if you pay up some money. Put your own logos, backgrounds, and overlays on. Do a slideshow, pre-record streams, unlimited streams. See, that's nothing. Well, you could pre-record stuff and put it out, but it's just the same as you do on YouTube at the moment. But it's the actual streaming thing. I think what moving forward is because I watch a lot of like movie related and geek related streams, and they're good. They're good fun, and they swear on there all the time. And
yeah,
you know,
are they doing it live or are they recording it and then editing it?
They're doing it live. Okay. They're doing it live because they're taking super chats and all kinds of weird stuff from YouTube. And, you know, the fact that these allow you to stream out to different locations at the same time, like it's got four, if you pay for it, four different destinations. So you can have like Twitch, you can have YouTube, you can have Facebook and another one, whatever that may be. And it does add some like camaraderie between you and the viewers if they can engage with you and you can instantly speak back to them or answer a question they may type in, like our Facebook viewer is doing at the moment. So it's good. And I would love to do live streaming things, but like I say, the guys are a bit shy and they don't want to do it, which is okay. And I respect that. So that's fine. But this is why I was looking at doing Steam Deck reviews and stuff. So, and my other mate, like Mark, he's got an idea for doing something because he used to have a YouTube channel. Well, he still has it. Where he had an idea to do 10 to impress. So what he'd do is he'd buy Apple arcade games. Well, not buy them, but, you know, download them. And they'd have 10 minutes to impress him. So he'd film himself and comment on it as he played it for 10 minutes.
Oh, and, that's cool. That's a good idea.
Yeah, but he stopped doing it for a while. And anyway, so I've said to him, now we've both got back into gaming and stuff using Steam. I said, just do it with Steam. Go and buy a £1.99 game a week, download it, play it for 10 minutes and put out the, you know, what happens. Yeah. And I think he's currently working on that. He might have done it already, actually. So, and I wanted to do something similar for the Steam Deck. I said, I'll just take your idea, rip it off totally. And no, but I thought, but on a Steam Deck. But,
well, one thing, because I have two different computers here. I've got the Mac Mini and I have a Windows PC that I use basically just for gaming. So if I had something like, what is it called?
Just get one of them. Something like this, a capture card. That's what
I've got a capture card. I'm using it for the Sony camera that I have right here. But there needs to be a way. I guess I could just get another one.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Into things like OBS. But the problem is, because we've got MacBook M1s, I think, I know I can't have more than two screens running off my laptop. I'm not sure if there's any such limitations on the Mini. But
I think you can do up to four screens, but I mean, at some point, you've got all these different screens that you have to look at, and I don't know how well that would work out. But I've got a KVM switch for one of my monitors that I can go between the PC and my Mac Mini. So yeah. I could have that screen doing the game so that I could be playing the game and then have all the recording stuff set up on the Mac. I just have to get the video from the PC into the Mac. Not so much that I would be watching it on the Mac to play, because that kind of lag would just kill you every single time, but so that it could be, you know, both me.
You just have a splitter.
Yeah. So yeah. Well, that's kind of what I've got right now with this little KVM switch that goes between the two computers to one monitor.
So it's all of this stuff is doable, and it amazes me it's all doable. And this like things like StreamYard and Eevee Mux, these are kind of like the last obstacle, because you've got to get your signal out there and then split off. I think Ecamm was doing this thing originally where they were allowing you to stream to various destinations, but it was all going through your end. So you were sending out four different streams, which is no good. If you're sending 1080p or even 4K in some instances,
you better have a big pipe.
But I think StreamYard, and it looks like this one here as well, they do it. You only send out one stream to them, and then they fork it out to all the other services out there, as well as taking the feedback from those services and pulling it back to you all into one place, which can make it much more enjoyable and engaging and spread your audience, because some people don't want to be on Facebook, some people don't want to be on, I don't know, YouTube or Twitter.
If you
pay for X, you can stream now like full-length videos to X as well, and it just appears. Yeah, it's great.
As well as TikTok.
Yep.
Pinterest. TikTok,
yep. Well, TikTok's more short form, isn't it?
Yeah, but you can do long stream live stuff on TikTok.
Okay. At least I don't use TikTok, so.
Yeah, I every once in a while I go over there and says, well, let's just see where this takes me. And like 15 minutes later, it's like, oh, I really didn't need to see that.
But this,
so I run away.
The possibilities are endless. I mean, you can, if you've got the time, like I say, if things don't go well for me at my job and we all end up, you know, move out because they've moved up north somewhere, then fair enough. I'm going to have much more time to do something
creative
here. Yeah, hopefully. What's that? What's happened? You've got a little bubble next to you.
Oh, I lifted my hand, I guess, to scratch, and it said, oh, you must be doing one of these.
Oh, right. Okay. That's weird. Dear God.
There's like all kinds of things that you can, you know, there's like a celebration one, and I don't remember how that one works.
Two thumbs up.
The hearts.
I don't know.
And then you got thumbs up.
It's triumphant.
See, now, of course, that I'm talking about it, it's not doing it.
Working. That's the trouble with doing it live.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we're going to end the stream here over to Mac to the Future. Thanks to Cletus and anyone who watches this later on, God help you. It's a super long one. We've been recording now on Facebook for almost 2 hours. So, yeah, that's super, super long. We'll see how well that works out. I will edit this down and have shorter versions of all of this that I will be putting out at various times. But I just want to say thank you. Thank you all for watching and listening to the MyMac.com podcast. Thanks to Carl for coming on. And forgot to say this while we were recording. Thanks, Carl. Thanks for being on this week, Carl.
It's okay.
Yeah. I got so confused. Anyway, we're going to end the stream.
He's not thanked me for the codes I sent him for Steam either yet, by the way.
No, I did. I did thank you. I think. Didn't I? I don't know. I'm confused. I'm so confused. All right, we're going to go. Bye, guys, over there on the Facebooks. We appreciate it. Bye.